Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. We set aside a few moments in the 11 o'clock hour every week on Tuesday for the NOLA Coalition, and we try to highlight as many groups as possible that are working in the trenches, trying to make a difference. The not-for-profit world, they are difference makers, and they continue to reveal themselves on this show and the incredibly great work that they're doing day in and day out, and we're very proud of what they do, and today's no different. Joining us is Aaron Jordan from the Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance. They have a youth entrepreneur workshop program that they're hosting in the summer, and he's here to tell us about it. Aaron, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you, Newell. Thanks to be on your show again.
Yep. Aaron, so tell us, I think y'all just finished registration, and so tell us about the program.
Okay. The Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance is, like I said, the organization try to help bring businesses to the East, help promote them, help bring new businesses and keep the business that we have. But we also wanted to do something for the youth as well. I think since we're all about business, we wanted to hold a youth entrepreneurship workshop. So we kicked off the workshop this past weekend, where it's more of an orientation, and it runs for the next four weekends from June 3rd to July 1st. And we go from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it's located at 9701 Lake Forest Boulevard, Unit 103. And what we targeted was the youth ages 14 to 17. And we do have some room left for us if any other young adults want to come and participate. We have a few slots left.
So what is it that the folks that attend that they would expect to hear from you guys?
Basically, what we are trying to do is expose them, the youth, to say how to open a business. Okay, we're teaching them how to open a business. We teach them how to market that business. We talk about money and how to invest that money. Each participant also has to. We're trying to say, hey, we're going to sell a product or service at the end of the workshop. So we're going to bring them through that whole process, and hopefully we're going to try to expose them to investing money, where we tell them, you know, we might use the tool Robin Hood, and that's not the Robin Hood in the forest, but it's an investment tool that you can use to invest some money. So we're going to try to teach them that whole thing. So we think this is a very vital and important workshop that will expose the youth to finance and how to run a business.
Aaron, what was the reaction of what the kids heard this past weekend?
Yeah, they was real interested. You know, they was trying to figure out what product they were going to try to sell. You know, we tried to see what was their interest, you know, try to keep them engaged. We did more like a round table where we have the GNO Inc., which is that part of the whole NOLA coalition about the youth. So we put that as a part of it. We have NOLA BA that's also supporting us. We have the Black Chamber is also Angel is the instructor. And what we did, though, we had a round table to try to make sure all the kids are engaged, and we're trying to get their parents also engaged to some degree. So to really spark their interest, to really make sure that they feel like, hey, there's no wrong answers, you know. So you can just say what you want to say, and we're going to help them get through this whole process. Now, we're not going that far in the weeds, but we're going to the point where I'm sure once they finish, they will know something about business.
Yeah, you know, and this in this society today, when we think about what kids are exposed to or not exposed to, obviously this is a big plus up for them, right? I mean, in gaining some access to this type of information, a lot of these kids will end up starting companies on the internet, selling this, doing that. They tend to be very entrepreneurially bent, more so than when I was growing up at that age. And it's kind of interesting to see where this will lead. Is this y'all's first year doing it?
Right. This is our first year. One of the things that we was looking for is to, you know, we probably need more funding because what we had wanted to do once the program is over with, they'll get a certificate. The very last day, we're going to help promote it and get the kids to actually set up a booth out in where our hall is in Eastern New Orleans, and try to get their friends and family and supporters to come and buy their product, you know, and let them seem like they're running a business. So this year we had wanted to, either next year, once you finish the workshop, you might get a laptop or something like that. We're trying to give them some more incentive. They will get a certificate at the end of this workshop. This is, you know, a nice certificate that we can do. Universal Printing, which is one of our companies, mm-hmm. where we are pretty much providing a lot of that. We're providing the space and we're going to do a lot of support when we do this Entrepreneur Kids Workshop Weekend, where we actually sell a product. You know, it could be anything, Newell. It could be lemonade, pecan candy. You name it. They can make candles, whatever it is. We just want to promote the youth and for as a business.
Yeah, it's more about the experience than anything else, right? And the exercise of doing same to gain a better understanding of the inner workings and how it works. Let's pivot real quick.
Right.
Aaron, there's been a lot of positive movement in the East over the last 3 months. I think the last time you and I talked, we were talking about the state of the state in New Orleans East. How do you feel about what you've been hearing about, you know, what's going on? I mean, I know that the Kern family has moved operations out there in the East. We continue to see success in and around the Michoud area, obviously, and there's some proposed developments on the table right now, waiting to see whether or not they're going to get to fruition.
Right. I think there's a lot of good news out here. The Kern family is going to move part of their operations, I guess, out here for their floats and so forth. But there's so much space out here. We could bring a lot more businesses out here, you know, and really turn this thing around. So just hopefully we keep moving on the Bayou Phoenix, the Lincoln Beach. We still got STEM NOLA. if we can just keep moving on those other big projects, and you got Henry Coulson with the lakefront development. If we can just keep moving forward with those, I think that's it'll be a big success for Eastern New Orleans.
No, absolutely, for sure. I mean, it's all about momentum, right? And you start developing that momentum, success breeds success, and as more and more folks move out there, I mean, that's the area that we really need to focus on, because that's the area that's it's almost, in some respect, it wasn't always this way, virgin territory, right? Because of a lot of what happened in the aftermath of Katrina.
Right. From what I can see, you know, a lot of things are going on. New restaurants are opening up. We have some, we had one just open this past weekend, which is Thai Nola. So, which is a good thing. We went there this weekend to eat. So, we trying our best to keep the ball moving, keep the momentum going. We partnering with other, I say our organization is partnering with other organizations to keep the ball rolling. We partner with the Black Chamber. Willie Calhoun of the Lower Ninth Ward, he's been helping us do things in the East as well, and trying to help us with our workshop. So it's a lot of different people involved that'll be trying to pull together. And that's why we have the word alliance in our name, New Orleans, the Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance, because we are trying to put ourselves in line and bring people together. And that's the whole thing.
Aaron, one of the big challenges out there in the East has been crime. I know the Littlewood section continues to suffer horrifically. What are you hearing?
Well, for the most part, you know, I still think, you know, when you talk about East New Orleans, we are so large out here. I mean, so you might have certain areas that have pockets of crime, but I'm sure our 7 district police captain there, I know they're working hard to try to solve some of these issues. And not only that, I think we need not just the police department, but we need the residents and the business owners to help with this issue. I mean, this issue happens all over the city. So how can everybody pitch in to help solve this problem?
Have you sensed reluctance for some to do so?
I don't think so. I think maybe some people might be afraid, just don't want to step up. But it's time for everybody to step up and do their part. I'm not telling them to be a police officer, right. But at least if you see something, say something.
Yeah, no doubt. And it'd be nice if we could at least stop the I-10 shootings. Those seem to be alive and well, unfortunately, because I think that fuels a type of fear that you don't typically see otherwise, which continues to, I think, drag the East down a little bit.
Yeah, but I think on that, though, it's not like somebody's just sitting on I-10 just waiting for you to pass by.
Right.
I don't think that's the issue. It might be more of you get some bad apples that want to go after people
They're targeted. There's no doubt about that. But I think people fear being the innocent bystander. You know, I mean, driving down an interstate highway, most people kind of tend to believe that's going to be mostly safe, right?
Right, which is true, but that can happen in any part of the city.
Sure.
And so that's why I say it's not just random. It's just these bad apples, just they don't care when they start shooting. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you know, so how do we solve those things? But we do need more police officers for the biggest part of the city. We can definitely use some more police officers out in the eastern side of the city.
Absolutely. Aaron Jordan, Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the Youth Entrepreneur Workshops program. They got a couple of spots left, folks. Aaron, if they want to contact you guys, I think it's 504-957-3568. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we got our website out there as well. Our email address is GNOEalliance@gmail.com. They can email that us as well.
All righty. Sounds great. Best of luck to you this summer. We'll check back with you later to talk about the successes for sure. This is Aaron Jordan, Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance. Folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. If you got something to say, let us know. We'd love to talk about it. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. We'll go to the talk lines. We got David up. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. Thank you. I really appreciate your show, and I thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a native New Orleanian. I've been down to French Quarter twice in the last month, once for a giant wedding I had to go to, and one for a concert. And try to really support the city, but I got to tell you, Noel, and I know my call is not going to mean anything to anybody, but I have never seen the French Quarter look worse than it does right now. It is absolutely horrible. When went down there, I'm an entrepreneur, own my own business. Sidewalks are busted up. Streets are in horrible condition. The smell's never been worse. Homeless on the streets in high-profile locations. And it seems like the tolerance level for it, in my opinion, has just, it's been accepted now. It's the new norm. And the charm of the city is gone. It's really unfortunate. I mean, you know, I make a good living, and I don't mind coming down and spending money. I really don't. I have six season tickets, and I spread them around amongst my children so they can enjoy New Orleans and see what I grew up with. But it's got to the point now where my wife and I have made a kind of a pact that we really don't want to come back for a while, and until something changes. It's not fun anymore. I mean, you walk around the city, you go down Royal Street, you go down Decatur, you go down whatever, and you know, you're looking over your shoulder, and if you're not looking over your shoulder, you're looking in front of you so you don't jump into a sidewalk hole. I mean, I'm talking about holes where they got cones shoved into the hole so you don't fall into it. And I remarked to my wife, I said, if I owned this business here, I would be out here fixing the sidewalk myself. That's how crazy I am. As an entrepreneur, I would hire my own crew. I swear to God, I would. And fix the sidewalk. It might look like crap everywhere else, but in front of my store, it would be fine. You know? And I just don't understand. And I listen to your show, and I know you got a tough job, but who are the city councilmen for that area? Or I know you got these commissions and all, but I mean, nothing improves. It doesn't get any better. It just seems like it's terrible. We went to a big wedding, a giant wedding, and I was really concerned about getting in and getting out without any incidents. That's what I was really concerned about. And, you know, I love the city. I love New Orleans, but I am so disappointed in it right now. And it really hurts me. It really cuts me to the quick. I grew up there. You know, St. Catherine of Siena, Rummel High School, LSU, successful, come back, try to support the city, try to do things. I'm a big supporter. But, man, it's just never looked worse, Noel. It's never looked worse. And I just can't imagine none of these city councilmen for that specific area. If I was a resident of New Orleans, I would be on these city councilmen's behind like you wouldn't believe. I don't know who those people are. I'm not that well-versed. But something's got to change down there because the charm is gone. People are getting hurt, and it's not fun anymore. It used to be kind of quirky and fun. You had characters and this and that. You get it. And all that. That's how it smells down here. It's not like that anymore. Now the tipping point has been reached, and now it's just a terrible place. I don't see the charm of it anymore.
I don't disagree with you, David, and I say this all the time, and I talked about this the other day because I was down there, and my experience was just as you articulated. I saw the same thing. Homeless people in front of restaurants, bucket beaters in front of historic restaurants, holes in the sidewalk. We had that Pennsylvania blue flagstone sidewalks that we were so proud of at one point in time. And now, for whatever reason, it is a pain in the neck to manage it. It's relatively simple. It's easy stone to cut, easy to repair. We ought to have a repair crew working, out there 7 days a week, doing it, maintaining it. That area generates a lot of sales tax dollars for the city. And that's the shining star. And if we don't maintain it, manage it, massage it, keep it alive and well for all to enjoy, we will suffer. And, as you've just pointed out, part of the allure of like having six season tickets to the Saints, right? Some of which are late afternoon games, some maybe a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, is you make a day of it. If we don't leverage, the investment that's made with the Superdome, the arena, the aquarium, we're going to be broadcasting live there on Thursday, World War II Museum, the Riverwalk, all of these things have to work in concert with each other to create this holistic experience, right? And you can ruin it for everybody when you walk through the quarter and you see the filth and you have the smell and you got prostitutes propositioning you that I hadn't seen there in a long time out on the street. People pulling wagons, selling hard alcohol, trying to sell hemp, everybody's thinking that they have a right to set up a business establishment in the street, and there's no enforcement. There's not a single place, with maybe the exception of San Francisco, that right now you can go to the tourist mecca of that area and have street businesses set up without a license, without a sales tax license, without an occupational license, conducting business as though it's their right to set up this business on the street, but in this city. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me that they don't understand that running themselves as a business means that you have to regulate all for the benefit of the whole, not for the benefit of some. And we've completely lost sight of it. Our priority is for our mayor to travel around the world to talk about climate change, as though there's anything that she's done recently to help perpetuate us being ready for climate change at all. It's like we don't get it. We are lost in high weeds. We are successful in spite of ourselves because we're still driving numbers. Thank God for organizations like GNO Inc., New Orleans & Company, the Convention Center, the LSED, and others that are working hard, bringing quality talent, shows, tourists, cruise industry, all of this pushing the edges of the envelope. Because if we had to rely on this abysmal leadership, we would be down and out in Beverly Hills. And, I don't know how many times and how often I have to say it, we'll continue, but your reaction is my reaction. And some of the finest restaurants in the world, and people will not go down there and and take advantage of it. Now,
thankfully,
our tourists are. They're spending their dollars, but the locals, they're suffering. And I could tell because almost every restaurant that opens in Metairie today, you can't get in it. And that's never been the case. And I understand from my friends on the North Shore, it's pretty much become that way over there as well. Because people are, the risk reward does not work for locals in going down to the French Quarter. And that's a shame.
Right, right. You're right. You're right. And I tell you the truth, no, I'm hoping that somebody, even if they don't have a chance of winning the mayoral election, I just think somebody needs to run just to be the mouthpiece for people. They're so frustrated.
Well, we have to give a damn. We have to understand that, you know, when we cast a vote for somebody, that we're casting it for the right reasons. We can't just embrace sound bites. We got to dig down, peel a couple layers off that onion to find out what these folks are really about, what their capabilities are. We actually elected an activist. Activists thrive on conflict. They don't thrive on resolving something, because then what are they going to be an activist for? They don't want the issue to end. Have you ever seen any of these activist groups that are very pro this, anti that? Have you ever seen them really accomplish anything? I mean, no, they want persistent and consistent conflict, because that's how they raise money. It's all about perpetuating themselves, and, you know, so it never goes away. And meanwhile,
we need an entrepreneur to take hold of this, in my opinion. We need an entrepreneur who's going to run. I don't know who we might have to recruit somebody who's not even thinking about running for mayor. We might have to recruit. Who's that business person? Who is that guy who's maybe doesn't need it? Almost like I know everybody's going to hate this, but somebody who doesn't need the gig, but they love our city so very much that they want to turn it around.
Absolutely. I mean, I get it. It's not a high paying job. You know, it can be a very rewarding job. But, you know, it has to be someone that the center of their universe is not themselves. And, you know,
is it a Ronnie Lamarck? Is it a Ron Foreman? Is it a, I mean, I don't know these people or nothing. I'm just throwing high profile business.
Could be any number of folks. I mean, you know, but I really believe that we need a new generation leader. We need someone that's of a younger mindset. That's not a knock on any of those people, but I mean, we have to develop and cultivate our next generation of leaders, right? I mean, that is key and critical to the success of this city. And look, we've got challenges right now. We've got homeowners that can't afford homeowners insurance. We've got risk rating 2.0. We have people whose escrow amounts on their mortgage are greater than the principal and interest payment. We have home sales that are falling, not because of an interest rate, but because of a homeowner insurance cost. So we have a lot of challenges right now that we haven't fully experienced and felt the breadth and depth of that challenge. And we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that this is going to impact this community throughout the metropolitan area in a huge way in the coming months and years, because we hadn't even felt it yet.
And Noel, you have a lot of responsibility, because we need you to bring the guests on who stay with it, please.
I will continue to do so. Continue to talk about issues. State Farm got out of California the other day. You know who did so before they did? Allstate. Allstate and State Farm not writing new business in the whole state of California. And if you think it's not coming our way, you're asleep at the wheel. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. Let's go to Clyde. He's up. Clyde, welcome to the show.
Touching on a subject I was just talking about, my father started business in French Quarter back in the 60s. And you remember when Sidney Torres took over, I forgot who, what, before Mitch Landrieu came in, but he took over the street cleaning and the garbage collection. Mm-hmm. And the French Quarter, it was shocking because we was there 24/7. My dad was open 7 days a week. And we go down there. You remember when Mike Dickett, he really said the French Quarter really stunk. It really did. But when he came and Sidney Torres came in and he cleaned it up, and I'm telling you what, he cleaned the sidewalk and he was spraying out some kind of deodorant on the streets. And it was almost like Disneyland. It was going to be like perfect. And then Mitch Landrieu got elected and he canceled the contract. And he went to like three different garbage companies where you had to have a green one for this guy. You had a black one for this guy. It went totally crazy and it went back to what you got now. But that was a start. I thought the French Quarter was going to be like Disneyland. But when Mitch Landrieu came in, he killed that contract. And I remember he had a conversation on a radio station like yours. And he was talking to him, and he was trying to get his point across. Let's keep it like it is. But Mitch had his plans on bringing other people in, and it went back to what it is now.
Of course, it was going too well. I mean, I'd never forget walking out of a restaurant right by the Royal Orleans, and I saw a guy with a backpack device, and he's on a four-wheeler. And I see him pull in front of the rib room. And there was a bunch of gum on the sidewalk, and he's spraying this solution on the gum, and he's got this razor blade on this handle, and he picks up the bubble gum on the sidewalk.
Right.
And I thought I was in an alternate universe. My wife looked at me. I looked at my wife. I said, what the hell's going on here? This is crazy. It's a beautiful thing. I can't believe it's going on here. Well, shortly thereafterwards, it all ended. Because we were doing too good of a job of keeping it clean and sanitizing the streets, and everything was hunky dory, not for long.
They were cleaning the sidewalks. Everyone going down the street cleaning the sidewalks. And I mean, they were doing a good job. It was just totally shocking. And I thought, man, really, this guy Sidney Torres, he's doing a job. And he was out there himself. He'd be riding around and making sure the crews were doing something.
But you know what? You get what you pay for, right? You know, we're always trying to do it on the cheap. We end up with Metro and Richard's Disposal in the aftermath of all of this, two completely undercapitalized minority companies. If they'd have been fully capitalized and been able to do what they needed to do, what happened? Fast forward. Problems, right? And we're sitting around here like it's a big surprise. Surprise, surprise. We engage an undercapitalized company to do one of the most critical services to the city, and then we're surprised later on when there's a little bleep in the economy. And they were on razor's edge for a long time from a financial perspective. And then you're dealing with a city that can't pay their bills on time. So separate and apart from the things that are their fault, there are things that were not their fault that exacerbated their problems because they were trying to do business with a dysfunctional business entity. And then in the end, we're surprised by all this. It's like, really? What are you talking about? Thank you, Clyde. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, no, I was just listening to your past couple of callers and made me want to call in to you to highlight two cities that I think they're called our sister cities, and they seem to get it all all right, and they seem to be very charming, which is what New Orleans used to be. The two cities are Charleston and Savannah. Have you ever been there?
No, but I have family members that have, and they tell me they're striking, they're beautiful, and they take care of business.
Absolutely. The word that jumps out of my mind is charming. When you go to those cities, you know, it's so charming. Everything is great. The restaurants, you feel safe. We plowed around Charleston all hours of the day and night. Never felt unsafe, not even for one second. It was just such a beautiful experience. And being from New Orleans, you know, I say, why can't we be like that? We used to be like that 20, 30 years ago. But it is a first-class act. And rather than have the mayor go to our other international sister city, Paris, and learn, she can just go to the East Coast and learn from these two cities. We're sitting around, and they have great restaurants, too, by the way. I would put them up against anything in New Orleans, to be honest with you. But we were sitting around meeting a bunch of different people, one of these nice restaurants, sitting at the bar, eating, talking to people from Canada, from all kinds of different areas. And we were talking about where we were from, and we mentioned that we were from New Orleans. Now, historically, and as you may know, when you mention you're from New Orleans, you get people saying, oh, that's such a great city, I love it, blah, blah, blah. The exact opposite this time. Almost in unison, everybody was like, oh, yeah, no, not for me. I can't go there. Way too much crime. So it's totally, you know, turned around from what it used to be, the perception of our city. Now, I know that the tourism numbers are keeping up as per, you know, the guy you have on Monday morning. I think it is the NOLA.com or NOLA Coalition. So that's a good thing. I don't see it when I talk to people. I have a lot of out-of-town clients, and they all say the same thing. It's like, yeah, they used to like to come in here, but no longer. Now, as far as going to the downtown, the French Quarter restaurants, I've called up to your show and said this before. I no longer go to the French Quarter restaurants, but by happenstance, I happened to be in one a couple of weeks ago. We ate. It turned dark while we were in there, and we were speed walking to get to the car. We had to cross Bourbon. We were speed walking to get to the car to get the heck out of the quarter.
Yep. And a lot of the restaurateurs, they even warn you of it as well because they recognize what it is because they don't feel like it's safe for their own employees. And here we are, we're watching it disintegrate in front of us, and we're off running to South Korea and other areas around the world as well as running up to the Black Mayor's Conference the other day, traveling all over the place, and the return on that investment? Nada. Nothing. We're bringing nothing back. We just can't hit base hits right now. Thank God LSU does. By the way, the Fighting Tigers baseball team, they'll be hosting a super regional after defeating the Oregon State folks 13-7 last evening. Game one set for 2 p.m. this Saturday. We'll be covering it right here on WWL, so stay tuned for that. Game two will be on Sunday, and if game three is necessary, hopefully not, as the Tigers make their way to the College World Series, would be on Monday. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, there was recently a quality of life survey that was done in Jefferson Parish, and it was done by the company that Ron Fauché operates, and he's going to be joining us to talk about that survey, as well as Philip Rebo, chairman of the Jefferson Business Council. So stay tuned. We'll talk about all of the issues that folks are thinking about in Jefferson Parish and where they rate their political leadership, the services that are provided, and otherwise. And in the back half of that hour, we'll talk more about what's going on in and around the country. Get an update on House Bill 321, the transparency bill relative to juvenile records. You'll be surprised about what's going on there. And then we'll talk about whether or not this is a good thing with third graders, holding them back if they're not able to read. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.